Let's pray as we come to God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we ask once again that you would be with us. Draw near to us as we draw near to you. Give me a humble heart to speak your word. Give us all humble ears to listen, to receive it, to be comforted, challenged, rebuked, corrected, training in righteousness that we might receive so we would be competent for every good work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this evening is from Ephesians chapter 6. Hope you'll find a Bible or swipe one on and follow along as we read from the end of this section on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. This morning, we looked at the call to get dressed, to put on this whole armor of God with the six elements of this armor. And then we come to the conclusion of this sentence, picking things up in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I wonder, if God came to you and said, I will give you immediate and significant growth in one area of the Christian life, what would you ask for? And no asking for more wishes. If God told me that I could wake up tomorrow and be significantly improved in one aspect of Christian discipleship, what would I request? Well, I could think of a lot of things I wish I were less of, and a lot of things I wish I were more of. And perhaps you'd want to ask the Lord that you would immediately tomorrow morning be better at personal evangelism. Or perhaps you would be better at memorizing scripture. Or perhaps I've thought of asking before that I might be better at eating whatever food was placed in front of me so that my travels would be a little easier. But here's what I know I would ask for, and I imagine many of you would ask for the same thing. The Lord said, I will give you tomorrow morning when you wake up immediate and significant grace in one area of the Christian life. I would ask for growth in prayer. If you're honest, many of you would as well. Now, we know that prayer is important. Many of us watching this understand and have heard many, many sermons or messages or read books on prayer. I've been in a Christian home and feel like I've been a Christian my whole life. So I've never not known about prayer. I've never not had someone pray at a meal and someone to pray when they put me down to bed at night when I was younger. I've gone through a progression as a Christian. At times, perhaps when I was a teenager, not thinking much about prayer at all. It was just simply something that you did at a mealtime, and maybe somebody did before bed for a few seconds, to when I was in college, judging my whole worth as a Christian every day based on how I did with my morning quiet time, to then a little bit older, feeling like, well, maybe not so guilty all the time, but boy, I wish I prayed more, to then feeling guilty that I didn't pray more, to now I think in these last years, hopefully a sign of maturity, wanting to pray, moving from, boy, this is something that I feel really guilty if I don't do as much as I'd like, to, wow, this is something that I want to do more of, and I want to grow in it. I'll let you in on a little secret. Most pastors, dare I even say most missionaries, have the same sorts of ups and downs with prayer that you do. Making time to pray, getting distracted in prayer, being faithful to pray for the many needs and requests around me, people ask, would you pray? And then those times when you say, I was praying for you this week. And then in your head, you're thinking, I did pray for you at least once or twice this week. So technically that's true. All of us, we struggle to be the sort of men and women we want when it comes to prayer, which is why I need more passages about prayer. I need sermons on prayer. You need more sermons on prayer. We need good books about prayer. We need Christians to set examples and to teach us about prayer. There may be no area in the Christian life where we so clearly know what to do and yet so manifestly struggle to do what we ought to do. There are some areas that are full of deep, profound mystery in the Christian life and some very difficult ethical questions, but this is one of them that is rather straightforward. We know we ought to pray. And most of us, I think, even want to grow in prayer, and yet it is so difficult. My prayer is and has been that this passage, and verse 18 in particular, would be used by the Lord to encourage you and encourage me and equip us to grow in this great privilege of prayer. Look at verse 18 in particular. We see the alls of prayer. Four alls. We ought to pray at all times, number one, with all prayer and supplication, number two, with all perseverance, number three, for all the saints. The four alls of prayer. The when, the what, the how, and the for whom of prayer. The when of prayer. Well, we read the when at all times. Prayer is necessary duty in spiritual warfare. The Christian's armor will rust unless it is frequently oiled with prayer. With each piece of armor we talked about this morning, we were thinking of remembering and appropriating and believing different aspects of our salvation in Christ. And now we come to not simply an exercise in appropriating and remembering, but to an explicit command, a duty. Now, it's given as another participle, praying at all times, but it has the force of an exhortation. Here is something we must do, but here is something we can do. Do you hear prayer as something I must do to be a good Christian? I hope that you hear it as something that you can do. Now, you're wrestling like a lot of us are. Maybe some of you are doctors, nurses, and you really are on the front lines, and every day you're obviously doing something. Or you're in the Army Corps of Engineers and building hospitals in a week. It's amazing. Or you're in the manufacturing supply line. And then there's a whole lot of us that are trying to do our bit in this COVID-19 crisis by simply staying home and staying put. And you may wonder to yourself, well, what can I really do? Well, here's something you can do. You can pray. And I wonder if we're honest, do we believe in prayer not simply as a matter of subjective good for us, but as an objective good for others? Now we've gotten to where it's sometimes scandalous when people will say, our prayers are with you, and people will be upset, and how dare you pray for me, or we don't believe in prayer. So some people just send thoughts. Well, I could tell you that just me thinking anything about you accomplishes a lot of nothing. Just beaming out thoughts into the universe, as nice as it might be to know that people think about me and we think about others, that may have a subjective benefit in your own spirit. But when we talk about prayer, we're not just talking about, well, it'll be good for you and you'll feel a little bit better and it'll have a calming effect. It's not yoga. It's not mindfulness. It is prayer talking to the creator and the sustainer of the universe. Not just good for us to calm our spirits, but good for others. If you think in the moments of crisis like this. I wish I could do something, but I can't go out and I don't have the skills, but I wish I could do something. Well, God can do something, and you know how to get a hold of him. On your knees, in prayer, at all times. The Christian who never prays shows himself to be either a very baby Christian or a backsliding Christian or no Christian at all. When should we pray? Well, at all times. Of course, we realize that in one literal sense, we cannot pray at every second of every day. We have to sleep. Our minds are occupied by other tasks. I remember one time having someone interview for a ministry position, and we asked the applicant to talk about some specific times and habits of prayer, and he simply said that he didn't really have times each day of or habits of prayer. He just lived in a spirit of prayerfulness at all times, which I took to be a rather lame answer and wasn't inclined to have him for the ministry position. That's a dangerous thing if we just have a spirit of prayerfulness without having some of the habits. I mean, look at the Lord Jesus himself. If ever there was one who was praying at all times and we would think wouldn't need to have set aside moments of prayer, surely it would be the Lord Jesus. And yet often in the Gospels, he is retreating to some desolate place that he may pray. Or before his final crucifixion in the garden, he's there praying. So praying at all times doesn't mean that you ought not to have a 6:30 to 7 or 5 good minutes in the morning or a time at dinner and a time in the evening with the kids. By all means, we ought to pray in those set moments. But what this reminds us is that prayer, though not less than that, must be more than that. It's not just a spiritual discipline. And we can all fall into this thinking, can't we? Well, how is your prayer life? Well, I had a good time of prayer this morning. I got up and sat down and I read my chapters and I checked them off and I prayed through a list. Well, good, we ought to do those things. But then we sort of think prayer is done for the day. And of course, we'll say a little something before a meal and maybe at bedtime if you have kids around. But prayer is checked off the list. No, to pray at all times means there is nothing that will happen to you tomorrow to which prayer would not be an appropriate response. If you have some unexpected prosperity come your way, it would be a good occasion to pray. If there is a surprising moment of adversity, it would be an occasion to pray. If in this next week you meet success or failure, fear or fatigue, frustration, all of these are occasions for prayer. Praying at all times. William Gurnall, his massive work on the armor of God, says, "We are to act every grace, season every enjoyment, mingle every duty, oppose every temptation with prayer." Again, this doesn't mean that you are literally on your knees in your prayer closet every moment. Nor can we even silently, consciously be speaking to God minute by minute. You really can't, it's very hard to speak to two people at the same time. Try responding to an email and talking to your wife on the phone. She realizes right away you're not doing two things at the same time. So God is not expecting us to pray in every literal moment. He is rather inviting us to pray at every kind of moment. So rather than speeding ahead with worry, come to the Lord in prayer. Worry is going to the future instead of going to God. The antidote to worry is to pray at all times. What might this look like very practically? Here's three things you might say during the day as you and I learn to pray at all times. Thank you. Help. I'm sorry. Just to have those three simple prayers in your repertoire, not just as a moment in the morning or in the evening, but throughout their day, you will have every day some opportunity to say, oh Lord, would you help me here? I'm tempted. Would you help with this news that I'm hearing? Would you help with this person whose grief has become known? Help them, Lord. You'll have occasion to say, thank you for undeserved blessings of sunshine or spring flowers or laughing children or good health. And you will have opportunity to say, I'm sorry. Sorry I thought that. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. Don't wait to pray. Pray at all times. Here's a great quote. This quote will stick with you. I promise you. This quote from William Gurnall, who says, prayerless Christians are like swine. They never look up to heaven till God lays them on their back. Don't be piggy Christians, never looking up to heaven until God lays you on your back. Now, God is merciful, and perhaps he is meaning to throw the whole world on their back like pigs, that we would look up and finally plead for mercy. But those who learn to pray at all times know that there is never a moment where it is not a proper response to pray. And Paul says, at all times, in the Spirit. This is not a reference to speaking in tongues, not a reference to some deeper level of consciousness, not even a reference to a more powerful emotional state, as if you're sort of praying and then you're in the Spirit when you're really feeling something in your emotions. That may or may not be the case. Rather, take this verse in context. We pray in the Spirit when we pray according to the truth he reveals, in awareness of the privileges he grants, and with the strength he supplies. If you know the book of Ephesians, think about the role of the Spirit in this letter. We are sealed by the Spirit, chapter 1:13. We have access to the Father through the Son by the Spirit, chapter 2:18. We are built up by the Spirit, 2:22. Strengthened with power in the inner being through the Spirit, 3:16. Filled with the Spirit as we sing songs and give thanks, chapter 5:18-20. So the way to pray in the Spirit is not mysterious. It is to be a Bible Christian, a gospel Christian, and a dependent Christian. That is to pray in the Spirit. Once again, Gurnall says, prayer is the creature's act, but the Spirit's gift. When you come before the Lord in a movement and moment of humility, claiming the promises of God, clad with the truth of God's word, that, whether you realize it or not, is praying in the Spirit. Because the Spirit has taught you that. The Spirit has prompted that in you. The Spirit has brought you to that place of seeing your need. Let us pray at all times. Then we have the what of prayer. From the when to the what. Well, we pray with all prayer and supplication, verse 18. Those words, prayer and supplication, are synonyms more or less for petitions. Now, as parents, we sometimes find ourselves saying to our children, stop asking me for things. The kitchen is closed. Amazon is not bringing you anything else this week. Stop asking me. Figure it out. Go solve your own problems. I don't want to hear any other requests. And that may be understandable as parents, so long as we realize that our Heavenly Father is never like that. In fact, he commands us. Do you know the single most frequent command in the Bible relative to prayer? Ask. Come. God is saying, I want you to ring the bell. I want you to knock on the door. I want you to seek and act. God never runs out of supplies. You never go to the grocery store of God's grace and you see just empty aisles. He never sends us away. Come with prayers, with supplications, all kinds of prayers. fixed prayers, planned prayers, sudden, spontaneous prayers, all manner of prayers. Sometimes we may ask in the wrong way, or with the wrong proportions, or with the wrong heart. And we want to grow in those ways, but we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, is patient and tender with us. With the right heart and the right understanding, we cannot ask for too much. Think of these questions. What big thing have you dared not ask of the Lord? I don't mean money trees and, you know, rainbow unicorns. What thing, in keeping with the glory of his kingdom, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, what big thing have you dared not ask him for? And what small thing have you thought too puny to mention? Listen, Christian, you are never a bother to God in prayer. You are never a burden. Come to him with all prayer and supplication. Ask him, ring the doorbell, knock, text, fire away a direct message. Ask him. He's commanding us to come. When we pray at all times, what? With all prayer and supplication. And then third, the how of prayer. To that end, keep alert, verse 18, with all perseverance. So be alert. The disciples fell asleep. Christ often would tell parables to the effect to be awake and alert that he was coming again. We know from Peter's letter that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, so we must be alert. We must not head into a new week thinking this is a week that we can no longer pray, lead us not into temptation. This is the week the devil is busy with other things. This is a week when I can dabble with sin. This is a week when I can flirt with temptation. Surely God will understand. There's so much going on. A little sin would be fine for this week. No, no, no. Be alert. Pray with all perseverance. We often are puny when it comes to perseverance. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to pray for every request forever and ever. Amen. Remember, Paul, whether it was a literal number or an expression, said he asked the Lord three times to remove this thorn in the flesh, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. There is a fine line, isn't there, sometimes between constantly praying and worrying? So this isn't to say perseverance doesn't mean that if you start praying for something, 50 years later, you must be praying for the same thing. But it does mean that we ought to, like Jacob with the angel, wrestle with the Lord in prayer. Earlier we saw wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against Satan in this spiritual warfare. Well, this is different. This is a kind of wrestling and perseverance with God to bless us. Do you remember Jesus telling the parable of the persistent widow? It's really nice when Jesus states up front the purpose in the story. He told them a parable so that they would always pray and not lose heart. Are you losing heart praying for your kids, praying for the sin struggles in your life, praying for a breakthrough? Are you tired of praying for God's kingdom to come, for his will to be done? Jesus told the parable of the persistent widow because he knows it is easy for us to lose heart in prayer. And if we who are evil, if I as a bad parent often give in to my children when they ask for things that they don't need, fine, fine, you have worn me down. Yes, I will get you that thing. Yes, I will do the swipe and it will be in a box here soon. Yes, okay, I don't know why I'm doing this, but you have won. I give up. Surely, our Heavenly Father, who never runs out of mercy, he never runs out of his unfathomable riches, will never tire to hear us come and pray. He's asking, commanding that we pray with all perseverance. Let us not be meager in prayer. God is glorified in importunate prayer. Keep speaking about parents and children, but I am one and I have a lot of them, so it comes to mind. As much as parents may be frustrated at times with the requests, we ought to be heartened in this respect. If your kids keep asking you for toys or clothes or phones or gadgets, at least the fact that they come to you suggests that they are convinced you are able. And they even wonder if you might be willing. We have something to learn from them. Would that all of us would have the same convinced spirit. God, I'm going to keep knocking on your door. I know it's not hard for you to get me this thing. It's not hard for you to do this for us. It's not a difficult task. And so we pray, Lord, that it might be according to your will. What special lessons does God want to teach us through the discipline and the struggle of persevering prayer? Might he want to teach you about patience? Or perhaps it's God's way of giving more glory as we continue to pray and then he shows up. When we keep praying, we show that we believe he still can and we believe that he still cares. Would you knock on the door of the throne room of grace one more time? Would you come with that perseverance one more time? We resurrected an old go-kart. When I say we, I mean not me, but Lyndon Kelly here at our church, who fixed it for us and did a fine job. But it's an old motor, and it's a pull cord, and so it still takes sometimes 100 cranks to get that motor to go and the rickety old go-kart to send off. But my kids say, Dad, can we ride the go-kart? And you know, you pull it 10 times and nothing's going to happen. But you pull it 10 more and you start to have hope. And if the weather's a little warmer, it might be only 40 or 50 cranks instead of 100. But you keep pulling knowing that one of these times this might just turn over. And you keep pulling and you keep pulling. Would you and I keep pulling on the mercy of God's grace? Keep knocking on the door to his throne room, believing he still can, believing he still cares. Pray with all perseverance. And then finally, the fourth all. For whom ought we to pray? For all the saints. Now, Paul, in verses 19 and 20, we aren't spending much time there, makes a specific request for himself. Pray also for me, that I may have words to say, that my mouth would be open, that I could boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. So make me faithful to speak of Christ. And that's a good prayer for all of us to pray. Might there be opportunities, especially as we come into Holy Week, a week from today. A quick word on your social media channels about what the Lord Jesus has done in your life. A quick word of confidence in the scriptures and what you have learned about God's faithfulness and your confidence in the tomb still being empty. There may be greater opportunities than we dare to even hope for. So we pray that. But here in verse 18, the specific request is to make supplication for whom? For all the saints. That is, for all kinds of Christians. Now, we cannot pray for every Christian on the planet. We cannot be in daily prayer for every member of this church. But what if we more faithfully prayed for one another? We've had a lot of people who worked hard to put together that church directory, and I know we have a big church. Maybe you pray for a page a week. Or maybe you ask your elder shepherd, could I have the names of the people in our elder shepherding group because you're praying for us, and I'd like to add this and try to pray through these 40 or 50 names once a month. Or maybe you're in some sort of small group and you make that your list, or you pray through the book that the missions team put together for Missions Week, or you pray for your elders or deacons, or pray for your pastors. Find some means, even if you can't pray for every name of every member in this church, to pray for the saints. Pray for kids. Pray for newcomers. Pray in categories of saints, old and young, mature and just newly sprouting Christians, for doubters, for strugglers. Pray for people who have blessed you richly. Pray for people who have disappointed you. Pray for others even more than you pray for yourself. Here's a question that'll make you think. What would happen in the lives of the people in this church if every one of your prayers came true this week? None of the prayers for yourself came true, but all the prayers you prayed for others came true. Who would be healed? Whose marriage would be helped? Whose children would come to know the Lord? Whose marriage would be resurrected? What great blessings would we see if our prayers for one another were answered as we pray for them? Few things will help you love people more than to pray for them often. We will grow in love. We will grow in compassion. We will grow in unity for one another as we pray. And if nothing else, if this shutdown and all the worries of coronavirus would lead us to be a more prayerful people, we would thank the Lord for his goodness in that. We need each other if we are going to stand firm. That's part of the implication, isn't it? That to fight the spiritual battle is not just to get on your armor and go out alone by yourself each day. No, we must be praying for all the saints. Who knows what stupidity I have been spared on account of your prayers? I mean that. When people say, "Pastor, I pray for you every week," or some of you, "I pray for you every day," I say, "Thank you from the bottom of my heart." The Lord knows how many stupid, sinful things you've kept me from by your prayers. I thank you. Even if you cannot get through to your kids, you can still get through to God and pray that he would get through to them. It's the alls of prayer that make this such a glorious, magnificent, radical, and encouraging section of Scripture. It's one thing to pray some of the time, with some prayers, with some perseverance, for some people. It's another to pray at all times, with all prayers, with all perseverance, with all the saints. The battle is fierce. Don't enter into the battle without your air cover. One commentator says, "Nuclear wars cannot be won with rifles. Likewise, satanic wars cannot be won by human energy." You need prayers. You need the work from above. What if in this week we were attentive to prayer as attentive we are to our phones? What if we would pray, perhaps not even knowing where to start in this pursuit of prayerfulness, but to pray this simple prayer: "Lord, help me and my family to grow in the alls of prayer. At all times, with all prayers, with all perseverance, for all the saints." Let's pray. Father, make us here at Christ Covenant, and certainly all the believers watching wherever they are, but thinking of this congregation, we pray that you would make us a prayerful people. We pray that as pastors and elders, we would lead the way in setting an example in prayer. We pray that no one, whatever their age, whether they're 8 or 18 or 88, would think that they don't need prayer, that prayer is somehow for other people. Help us, Lord, not just to grow in feeling that we should pray, but in a deep reservoir of affection that we want to pray. Lord, would you give us some breakthrough this week? Kindness from your grace that we might grow in this wonderful privilege of prayer. We pray in Jesus, who intercedes for us. Amen.